Happy Palm Sunday. Today we celebrate Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. This starts the week where that breath does become part of our lungs. We're going to read from Mark chapter 11, and we're going to go through that triumphal entry. Oh, and before I get started, who has the clicker? Paul, do you still have it? I'm going to need that. Thanks. Sorry. All right, everybody's there. Okay, so Mark 11, verses 1 through 11. As Jesus and his disciples approached Jerusalem, they came to the towns of Bethphage and Bethany on the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two of them on ahead, and he said this, "Go into that village over there," he told them. "As soon as you enter it, you will see a young donkey tied there that no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks what you are doing, just say, 'The Lord needs it and will return it soon.'" The two disciples left and found the colt standing in the street, tied outside the front door. As they were untying it, some bystanders demanded, "What are you doing untying that colt?" They said what Jesus had told them to say, and they were permitted to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their garments over it, and he sat on it. Many in the crowd spread their garments on the road ahead of him, and others spread leafy branches they had cut in the fields. Jesus was in the center of the procession, and the people all around him were shouting, "Praise God! Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Blessings on the coming kingdom of our ancestor David! Praise God in highest heaven!" So Jesus came to Jerusalem and went into the temple. After looking around carefully at everything, he left because it was late in the afternoon. Then he returned to Bethany with the 12 disciples. So we have Palm Sunday that represents those branches that were cut from the fields. And people were waving those branches and praising God, saying, "Praise God, blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord." And see, Jesus had such a faith in God, in God's plans for him, that Jesus was very intentional as he entered into Jerusalem. He had specifics for those disciples, and he knew specifics about where things were that they needed to get without even looking ahead. So he's demonstrating his disciples his God part of him, that he knows. And he's very intentional. And here's what I want to really take a moment and point out, this intention. Jesus knew exactly what his mission here was on earth. Jesus knew that in 5 days, he was going to start to be tortured. And he was going to be sentenced to death. In one of the most horrific ways that you could be sentenced to death. But here he is, faithfully following God's will. With intention. He's not dragging his feet at all to what God's called him to do. He's moving with intention. And back in those days, what he was setting up with riding in on the donkey was like what a king would do. That's how a king would be received and come in. So he was blatantly telling the people and the leaders of that time, the Romans, the religious leaders, that I am king, right? And he's going to be accused of being king of the Jews later on. Do you have a faith like Jesus? Some days maybe not. Do you have such a faith that you intentionally move forward, even when it's going to be uncomfortable? He had specific instructions for his disciples that would indicate his status as king. And the people were shouting blessings on the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. When you look at the Gospels, there's so many times where people are in utter confusion of who Jesus is. He says a bunch of stuff, and they're like, wait, what? And he explains the parables to some folks, and some folks get it and some folks don't. But in this moment here, everybody gets it. Everybody has clarity of who Jesus is and what Jesus was sent to the earth in human form to do. So it's hard to imagine when you picture that scene that just 5 short days later, these same individuals laying their garments on the road, waving these branches, that the same crowd would be yelling, crucify him, and would turn against him, and would actually choose this guy Barabbas to be released from prison. And this guy was like a terror. He was horrible. And they chose him to be released instead of Jesus, an innocent man. It's hard to believe that, right? What happened? What happened? Well, they lost sight. They lost sight of the way. I'm sure nobody in this room or nobody listening has ever lost sight of the way, right? There's no, should it? Right? Nobody has been really on fire for God and then walked out and things happen and like just kind of, wait, God, who? Nobody's done that, right? Right. Okay. Yeah, nobody's done that. So these people were human, right? They were influenced by things. And we've been talking about what happens, right? So one thing that we can gather from the scripture is that maybe they lost sight of their way because they expected Jesus to save them in a different way than what he had done and what he was preparing to do. See, because the Jewish people at the time were under oppression from the Roman government. The Roman government had come in and expanded at that time. They were the world superpower at that time. And so there was this fine balance between the Romans and the Jewish religious leaders. And pretty much the Romans kind of dealt with those Jewish religious leaders to kind of keep peace in the land because they didn't want an uprising because they were outnumbered. So some people expected Jesus to come in and be that political leader that was going to overturn that Roman rule. But he didn't really get into politics. What? We're under oppression. God's supposed to save us. Remember that Moses guy? Remember how Moses came in and he actually saved us and he took us out of Egypt and we were no longer under Egyptian rule? Shouldn't this Jesus guy be doing the same thing with these Romans? Their expectations were different than what Jesus came. So that could be one possibility of why some people were like, all right, this is it. He's finally coming in on the donkey. He's indicating that he's king. He's going to come in here, and he is going to turn the tables on these Romans, and we're going to have that freedom. He didn't do that. Our expectations are not met sometimes, right? And before you know it, our faith is impacted. We've said that prayer every day for years, decades. To us, that prayer is unanswered. That person's not healed. That problem hasn't gone away. My past still keeps catching up with me. My illness hasn't gone away. Our expectations of God sometimes aren't met how we anticipate or how we expect. And it can impact our faith, right? So this is exactly why we did this sermon series called A Journey Through Lent, right? And we've talked about a lot of things on this journey through Lent. We've talked about, we're going to go through it here. We're going to review what we discussed. We started this off with Ash Wednesday. And Pastor Don kicked us off with, or Deacon Don, with following your compass, right? And we got all these little compasses. 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17 says, "All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work." This is a nice fine compass. I can figure out that I'm not going north right now. But this compass I can always follow. This compass, the scripture, is inspired by God. Find your turn to scriptures that will bring you back when you start to veer away from the direction your compass is pointing. Mine is John 1:5. It's very simple. "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has never extinguished it." This has been my verse since I was a teenager, when I was reconfirming my faith, going through confirmation classes, wrote a whole paper on it. And there has been so many times in my life that that verse is applicable to me. Because it means to me that no matter what is going on, the light shines in the darkness. No matter how far down I am or feel, the light shines in the darkness. And the darkness has never extinguished it, which means no matter what I'm trying to persevere through or just muddling through, it's not going to overtake. What's your verse? What do you turn to when you're in the darkest of darkest places? If you don't have that scripture, you need to turn to scriptures. Because this compass is what's going to pull you out of that stuff. Then we went on to God's glory unveiled and revealed. So there is a veil over Moses' face we talked about. When he went and encountered God, he was like glowing, and people couldn't handle it. So we wore this veil. The temple literally had this big curtain, which could be a veil, into the holy of holiest places. And only the holiest priests could go back there, and only at specific times during the year. But through Jesus, God's glory was revealed. And that curtain was torn when Jesus died on that cross. The veil was torn so that all may have a relationship with God, be saved by Jesus Christ, and receive the Holy Spirit. Did you hear me say all? Yep. That means you, anybody that's doubting. We talked about God is love, and God shines through you by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, we are to shine love. We talked about you are empowered to be in the presence of God anytime, anywhere. I'm going to repeat that one again for those that are. You are empowered to be in the presence of God anytime and anywhere. Pastors are fantastic, but you really don't need us to have time with God. We are simply lighthouses. But guess what everybody is? A lighthouse. You are empowered to have a relationship with God. You and God have a relationship. We talked about that barriers come into our life, those veils. And they're created by sin, self, and falsely believing in things of this world. And that's why repentance is important. It tears the veil. Being in the presence of God tears that veil. Dependence on God tears that veil down. You've got to stay in that. Allow the Holy Spirit to work within you. It's a process, so keep going. It's a process. Meaning ongoing, continuous. Don't get frustrated. Stick with it. Then we talked about the good news. This is the Gospels, right? And Pastor Lisa, she challenged us, or she put the challenge back out there in front of us, that we are to live life as a disciple, carrying the light of God, the gospel, to reveal the glory of Christ to the world. Back to we are all lighthouses. We can never give up on our ministries and spreading the good news because souls are at stake. Frustrations may come. You may get tired. But we must keep going. Remember, Satan is behind all ungodliness and tries to blur those lines. And we're all works in progress. Don't get frustrated with yourself and try not to be frustrated with others either. We're all works in progress. Keep going. Keep just tapping. Keep going. And know and live that Christ is your Savior. Know and live that Christ is your Savior. And when those troublesome times come on, Pastor Jamie said, we will persevere through God. And I don't know how many times she said this, but I wrote it down and like underlined it like 5 times when I was taking notes. So we don't lose heart. And this comes from 2 Corinthians 1. Therefore, since God in his mercy has given us the new way, we never give up. We never lose heart. Jesus was human too. So Jesus was fully God and he was fully human, which means Jesus' feelings were hurt. Jesus felt hunger. He felt tired. Jesus felt every moment of torture that's coming up. Jesus felt feelings of rejection when people laughed at him and mocked him and didn't believe in what Jesus was saying and trying to educate people on. But through it all, Jesus stayed the course by overcoming humanness and living in this world. He went to God. He had intentional, purposeful, and sincere prayer. And that's huge. That's a good practice to get into. Intentional, purposeful, and sincere prayer. And God sent him what he needed. And guess what? God sends you what you need. Sometimes we don't recognize it because it's not exactly how we thought it was going to be. But God sends you what you need. God is the source of the strength that we need to persevere. When you don't think that you can go on, God is your source for that strength to go on. And instead of focusing on what's right in front of you, why don't you focus on the unseen, the future, eternal life? Speaking of eternal life, that was next. God created you in his image to have a relationship with you for an infinite duration of time. God loves you so much that he wants to spend an eternity with you. That's huge. So I challenge you, church, as I did a couple weeks ago, get raw with God so that you can unveil the temptations and influences that take you away from God. No matter where you go or what you do, God pursues you. No matter what you do or where you go, God pursues you. Then Pastor Joyce talked to us about we are Christ's ambassadors. Now that we know all this good stuff that we learned over the last 5 weeks, we are Christ's ambassadors. And guess what? Life changes when you know that you have the Lord and Savior. It's a whole new way of looking at life, isn't it? When God controls our hearts, reconciliation begins. That's where that sin kind of separates us. But when we repent, when we turn away, when we turn back to God, reconciliation begins. We are representations of Jesus Christ when we're our little lighthouses. Or to go back to Pastor Joyce's, when we're those pencils, are you a sharp pencil being used to write, or are you haven't been through the sharpener yet? We are representations of Jesus Christ. Use your life. Don't sit dormant and not spread God's love. Use this wonderful gift of life that you've been given. Don't sit dormant and spread God's love, spread God's forgiveness, and spread God's given eternal life to all. Don't be a veil, going back to unveiled and revealed, don't be a veil to someone else. Show them that they are just as worthy as God's love and eternal life and all that stuff, just as much as anybody else's. Because we all are. So we are going to wrap up this sermon series today, because Lent kind of ends today. We go into Holy Week. And we're going to be in Romans chapter 3. And we titled this In Beginning and Conclusion, ... Faith. Because faith is at this whole beginning and faith is at the end. And faith is really the crux of it all, right? So we have to have faith in God. Romans chapter 3, 21 through 31. And then we're going to jump right to chapter 5. So, but now God has shown us a way to be made right with him without keeping the requirements of the law, as was promised in the writings of Moses and the prophets long ago. We are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who you are. For everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. Yet God, with undeserved kindness, declares that we are righteous. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty of our sins. For God presented Jesus as a sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood. This sacrifice shows that God was being fair when he held back and did not punish those who sinned in times past. For he was looking ahead and including them in what he would do in this present time. God did this to demonstrate his righteousness, for he himself is fair and just, and he declares sinners to be right in his sight when they believe in Jesus. Can we boast then that we have done anything to be accepted by God? No, because our acquittal is not based on obeying the law. It is based on faith. So we are made right with God through faith and not by obeying the law. So we are made right with God through faith. After all, is God the God of the Jews only? Isn't he also the God of the Gentiles? Of course he is. There is only one God, and he makes people right with himself only by faith, whether they are Jews or Gentiles. Well then, if we emphasize faith, does this mean that we can forget about the law? Of course not. In fact, only when we have faith do we truly fulfill the law. Moving on to Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand. Let's sit on those words for a minute. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand. And we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment. For we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. And since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from God's condemnation. For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his Son, while we were still his enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of his Son. So now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends of God. So now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God. We have been made right in God's sight by faith. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this undeserved privilege where we stand now. Did you know you were a privileged people? I got some yeses, lots of head nods. Good, okay. Church, stand firm in your faith. I know it gets difficult. I have those difficult times. Circumstances happen that just wreck our minds, don't they? Sleepless nights, unable to concentrate on things sometimes. But we must stand firm in our faith. We must stand firm in our faith. Make faith in your God your foundation, no matter what the circumstance is. And that's how you stand firm. If I stand with intention in my faith in God, those circumstances can blow around me like a hurricane. And I will still stand because I'm standing on God's foundation. Stand firm in your faith, church. It's going to get you through so much. And I'm not saying just because you have faith and just because you give it all to God, life is still going to be difficult. People are still going to hurt you. Circumstances are still going to be trying. But I'm telling you, church, if you stand firm in your faith in God, you will get through it. And you might not get through it how you expect to get through it. And help may come in ways that you don't expect it to come. But you will get through it, and God will provide, and God will be there for you. And I don't know how much more God can demonstrate his great love and faithfulness to you than what we're celebrating this week. God loves you guys so much. You really start believing that. Really start believing that. Because when you do, you'll start truly loving yourself and opening yourself up more to God and allowing God to guide you more. Because when you look at that mirror, all those judgments you say to yourself will start to disappear. And you'll look in that mirror and you'll see what a wonderful creation God created in you, in God's image. Church, stand firm in your faith. Amen.